That simple statement, I chose to do it consciously, means you've got control. So yes, I'm stepping into a little bit of a lion's den. It's going to be a challenge, but I know what's coming and I'm going to be prepared, and sometimes maybe not as prepared as I need to be, but I've got a blueprint and a framework that I can work with. I've got people around me that can support me and guide me and be objective. Hi everyone, and welcome back to episode 3 of the M&A Exit Lab. Great to have you with me, and really interesting and exciting but challenging topic I'm going to be covering today, and that's really around this emotional roller coaster that a business owner or founder goes through the exit process, and unpack the title. I've been quite deliberate in trying to put this together, but at the same time, hopefully gives us a little bit of structure to talk through and it makes some sense to you. But it's really the confidence, doubt, relief, and regret. And that kind of underpins this emotional cycle for an M&A exit. At the outset, I think what's really important is both myself and my partner, Rick, we've walked this journey hundreds of times, literally with our clients. And if you listening and watching this podcast as a business owner or founder, it's every situation is unique. So really not trying to sit here and almost be a hypocrite to say I know exactly what you're going through, but there's some really common alignments, I guess, and issues and challenges that one needs to go through. And I think what's really important, although we end off with this statement around regret, is that there, you'll see towards the end of this episode, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And what underpins all of it is really this mindset, I guess, of preparation and going in eyes wide open. To set a context, I think, for this emotional roller coaster, and maybe some of this resonates with you, but if you look at the traditional space, the traditional transactions that take place, the traditional advisor approach, investment banking approach, broking approach, the majority of the deal, if you like, is around the transaction itself, around the business. And what happens towards the back end of that, it's, as things start getting aligned from a business perspective, as the individual, the founder or business owner, only towards the end, when kind of the finality of it starts sinking in, the reality of what's actually taking place, the fundamental shift in your role, post the transaction, only then does it start really resonating around like, but what about me? And if you can take a step back, and whatever your exit process is going to look like, or the journey that you're in, or maybe you're in, one of these exits already, or through the processes, we always say you've got to separate the two. So there's fundamentally two exits here. One is the business. So yes, what you've built over the years. And in reality, this is a huge part of your life. And probably up until recently, when you're approaching this exit, you start, realizing that you're pretty much defined by this business and the legacy that you're building, and ultimately, what is this transaction going to look like at the end? But at the same time, there's you, the individuals, if there's multiple shareholders in this business. And it's really important to separate the two, because the journeys are very different. I'll kind of get a little bit into solution mode towards the end of this episode, but it's really important to understand that there are two. And as I mentioned in the opening, this is really almost a zero-sum game, a pressure vessel, where you've got the business and you as the individual, and there's got to be give. And that give is really around, if everything builds up from a business perspective and shifts your requirements or your imperatives as the individual, to the back end of the deal, they're going to surface at some stage. And, rather identify what those are going to look like and how to manage those, ideally early on in the process than not, then let it just all fall over after a whole lot of, blood, sweat, and tears, a really exhausting exit process and due diligence and all negotiation, and try and come up with some sort of game plan or framework. Before we get there, it's just really, as I mentioned in the title, we're looking at confidence, doubt, relief, and regret. And to break those down, to give some structure to the episode, it's really starting with confidence. And if we were to go back to when somebody approaches you or you explore this exit plan, if you like, I think for many business owners, there's this degree of curiosity. You know, it's, I've worked so hard, got a great business, in my opinion. Let me kind of see where this can go, you know, and there's sometimes a false sense of security and sometimes it may be real, but this quiet readiness, if you like, to, yeah, let me go out there, let me kick some tires and let's see how this plays out. But it's still in your mindset. It's just exploring. And you normally explore because you got there because of a trigger. The trigger could be an opportunity. You know, there's a growth opportunity. You know someone or you've heard of something or you've read something, whatever it may be. In many stages, it could be fatigue, like you're tired, you know, and we always underestimate. And I was chatting to my partner the other day and you realize this entrepreneurial journey is damn exhausting, you know, and it's up and down and all of those things. And you do reach that stage where it's just like, it's enough, you know. And for those of you that are watching this that aren't from South Africa, we got this great local term, if you like, Afrikaans term, which is called gatvol, which means I've just had enough. And, you know, we speak to many business owners and they're at that point, you know, you just kind of, I've had enough and I'm tired and I just want to see what, you know, what's out there. And then obviously there could be a stage in life. You could be at a certain age and it's time to explore the next chapter, retirement, whatever that looks like. But what underpins this whole confidence phase, if you like, is you feel in control still because, you know, you kicking some tires, you're just getting a feel for the lay of the land. You're trying to understand, is there something out there? And it's arm's length. And in many cases, emotionally, you're quite detached because it's like, you know, it could go somewhere, it may not go somewhere. And I often feel that I don't want to overcommit because then I could be disappointed or get overly excited or get on this roller coaster. So let me hold my cards pretty close to my chest and understand what's out there. And often what happens in this phase is you compartmentalize or reframe this phase to almost test the water. And this can show up in maybe only just the valuation. What is my business worth? How does the market see this? And you can almost trivialize what this exit process is going to look like because instead of, it's not actually treating it as just a valuation, it's actually a life transition. And when I went back, you know, and opened up with this separation from you as the individual or individuals from the entity itself, this is a transition. And sometimes, you know, we underestimate what this is really representing because we just get on the railway tracks and we follow this path and it, you know, it feels good. Somebody's knocked on my door and they like my business. The valuation seems pretty cool. Let's see where this can go. And that's where you get into this next phase. Because now all of a sudden there's some this interest and you start feeling this degree of exposure or vulnerability because like most privately owned business, it's private, you know, and many parties aren't allowed to look into the inner sanctum, if you like. Now all of a sudden, someone's knocked at the door, there's potentially an interesting offer on the table or letter of intent. Now you've got outsiders knocking at the door, starting to look under the hood in your business, starting to question quality of the data, scrutinizing the information, playing around in the data rooms, you know, really starting to, you know, see like, have you built, you know, at face value, you've built something great, but have you really? And how does this start stacking up? Because I think at this stage, many business owners do realize that their own identity is intertwined with that of the entity. So anybody starting to dig into data and challenging elements and whatever it may be, identifying risks or problems or gaps or whatever, it's pretty hard not to take it personally. So now all of a sudden, you finding fault with my business, which means you actually finding fault with me as the individual or my people or whatever it may be. And that's where the first phase of emotional discomfort kicks in because it's not cool to go through that. It's not great to be criticized. It's not great to have people start telling you what's wrong with your business because very frustratingly and ironically, when what attracts people to the business in the first phase around that confidence phase, now you kind of do a 180 because now they're looking for risk. They're looking for what's wrong with the business and that never shows up well. And your risk in this phase from an emotional perspective is defensiveness and maybe withholding some information, not necessarily intentionally, but it's kind of like the more you put out there, the more it's going to, you know, get criticized or challenged or whatever it may be. And it's in many cases, you know, because of this emotional discomfort that you're feeling, the progress slows down because you've got to almost psych yourself up. It's almost like before a big game, you need to go out there and face the due diligence team or whoever they're negotiating on the other side of the table. So it's really tough. And I think that's, you know, leads into, you know, under doubt, the next phase, which is around this, you know, this doubt, this second guessing, this, we call it this emotional whiplash where you start questioning, yeah, I didn't sign up for this. Like, is this really worth it? I've got a great business, you know, so now I want to sell it. Someone's now telling me like it's not as great as it seems and all of those things. And it really kind of strikes to your core. And that's a very tough place to be. And yeah, that trade-off to say, like, well, I've walked a long way through this deal, but I don't know if it's worth it. You know, I don't want to be treated like this. And you also then start reconciling the valuation that's on the table versus the mismatch now around expectations. Because, yes, you know, when someone puts a value forward, it looks like, you know, a decent offer. Now on the receiving end of this abuse, if you like, you're just thinking, well, I can't reconcile this. They're actually not paying me enough. The numbers aren't right. And it starts playing on your mind around, but I sacrificed so much. You know, I think back on all of those past sacrifices, and I look at how does this reconcile to future fears now? Because, you know, what if? What if I don't do this? What if I do this? Is it enough? Is the deal great? Is the deal or the premium that's been paid, does that compensate me enough to be on the receiving end of all of this negative stuff, the negative input and challenging and all of those things? And I've had it recently actually on a deal where literally there were two or three, maybe even four occasions where because it was long, it was intense, it was drawn out, it was just one of those situations where you really, yeah, you almost want to pull out on principle. And our client was in that space. It's like, I don't need to deal with this anymore. I'm going to just pull out. But it's important to take that step back and you know, look at it objectively. And I'll unpack that, you know, a little bit more. But this is probably of the riskiest phases to be in because, you know, when you're questioning it, you know, to this degree, is it worth it? Going through your mind, this washing machine of all of these emotions, you run the risk of self-sabotaging because none of us like to be challenged. None of us, you know, like to be told like, okay, you've spent 30 years building a great business, but here's the laundry list of what came out as red flags in a due diligence report. And that's where you're like, well, I'm done. You know, let me just walk away. And that's where you've got to keep, yeah, just some fresh perspective. You've got to keep alignment to what are the real objectives to you, you know, heading out on this journey and exploring and you know, making sure that you're going to eventually get there. From all this doubt and this uncertainty and all of these issues, you know, it's ironic because you go from doubt into this degree of relief. Relief in a way that the deal is done. It's like, got through it and, you know, you can tick those boxes and hopefully there's a decent check. But then at the same time, there's this shift because you lose your identity. And it's like, who am I? What does this... my life look like? You know, who am I without this business? And this often happens around a time that's really close to signing or signing itself. Because it's quite interesting. You can go for months through an intense due diligence process where you're being challenged and questioned and you know, just bombarded. And there's negotiations and advisors and a whole lot of moving parts. And still not take it that seriously from the perspective of there's an out. There's a pull in a case, you know, in case of emergency. And all of us, we tackle things like that because this is the one situation, probably one of the few in life as an entrepreneur or business owner where, you know, I look at this little book up on the corner, it's called One Shot. And, you know, I wrote that booklet, if you like, or ebook, because you get one shot to do this and do this properly. So, you know, when it all culminates into this, okay, we've done everything, we've agreed the terms, now it's time to put ink to paper, to make this binding, to finalize this, that's often where this lead weight just drops. And it's like, this is it. You know, it's such a big decision. When I sign this, the chapter changes, my life changes, my outlook changes, my identity changes. And it's one of these situations where you know, you strike this balance between, yes, there's relief, done a great job, but on the flip side, you've got almost grief because you're losing something. It's like losing a long-term relationship. And yes, there could be compensation in the form of value or liquidity, but that doesn't, in many cases, subsidize this emotional gap or hole that exists because of that. And I think often what happens is, you know, through this process, we always talk when somebody looks at your business and they're trying to understand how competitive or defendable your business is, there's this term called the competitive moat. In other words, like a castle of old, there's a moat that would protect, you know, outsiders getting in. So from a business perspective, what is that moat? You know, is it your IP? Is it your R&D? Is it your pricing, product, channel, team, whatever that may be? But we also forget that as the individual, I've also got a moat. And that moat I call the emotional moat. And that's something you put up around yourself to protect yourself and your business, because as we mentioned earlier, it's really just one thing, you know. But now all of a sudden, someone's chipping away at that emotional moat. And that starts getting, you know, very uncomfortable. It's generally through that phase and when this finality sets in, where there's a degree of panic because it's like, well, I've always known my emotional moat and the emotional moat is built around me and my business. Now I remove the business out of the mix and it's like, okay, so what now? And there's this degree of, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to panic. And that's always a tough place to be. And I think that's one of those things where as a business owner, you really do want to, you know, be aware of that mindset. You want to be aware of what this is ultimately going to look like. And I think that's where it still strikes me how many business owners or founders don't have a robust exit plan. And exit's not something you tackle 12 months before you want to sell. It's something you tackle a couple of years ahead. And if you've got this plan and you're working towards this plan, it starts making the journey more manageable. Doesn't necessarily make it easy, but you know what you're working towards and you know what this, you know, the correct planning will unlock for you, this degree of freedom, a reframing of what your emotional moat will look like. And that's a critical part of what we do at Deal Leaders International, because that exit is critical. The planning is critical. The decisions you make today will have a material impact on when you exit in 5 years' time. And at the same time, like I said, separate yourself from the business. And that's, you know, a really important process any business owner should be following to make sure that they've got all their bases covered. Getting back to these phases, the last phase, emotion, if you like, is this degree of regret. Quite interesting because it's going to depend on the type of business you're doing, but it's, you know, there's this, I suppose there's always a degree of post-transaction integration. There's going to be a degree of reflection and ultimately what does this mean? And you know, when I speak to clients and we talk about what happens after the transaction, you know, many times, and my team will tell you this, that I always use effective day plus one. So you've gone through the pain and suffering and emotional rollercoaster of getting to a deal. You sign the deal, gets done. Tomorrow, what does your life look like? Slightly different, because if you're selling the whole business, there's a good chance you're going to have to stay on for a handover period, depending on what that is. You're still coming into a business where you're no longer the owner. So you are handing over to the new owner and that dynamic changes. I've had it very recently on a big deal we did where the exiting shareholder was in that very boat. And it's really difficult to see from the outside because all of a sudden that reframe is everybody in your business has now got a different new boss. It's not you. The way you did things is not how they happen now. And to be on the outside of that is very, very difficult. And I think in many cases, it's underestimated what that looks like. And it doesn't mean it's not doable. Everybody goes through it. But it's one of those situations where had he prepared for a couple of years knowing what that would look like and what the next chapter is going to look like, it may have softened the blow a little bit. But it's still, you know, one of those things where some of these emotions and some of these feelings, you just need to accept they are going to happen. If in your mindset, you know they're going to come, then you know, hopefully that does help the exit. And it's quite interesting at this stage, you know, a bit where, you know, earlier on in that doubt phase, you had a situation where, you know, you, as a business owner or founder, you were saying, well, is this worth it? Let me just kind of throw in the towel. You know, I don't like what's going on here. Now, after the deal, you know, you reflect on this whole journey and you think, what was this actually for? Was it for a whole lot of money? Was it for my health? Was it because it's something I really wanted and now I've got a new chapter? You go through these different phases of emotion, normally a couple of months after the deal, because I think what happens is, you know, and we've seen it many times, the first couple of months after the deal, it's cool. You got some good money, you take some time off, you're with the family, you're traveling, whatever that may be. And then you ask yourself your question, now what? Now what am I going to do? And it's often in this phase that some emotional clarity can return because, you know, in all honesty, for most business owners or founders out there, you've invested so much time and effort and energy into this business over the years. You're now in uncharted territory, you know, and yes, it is. I think most of us are pretty, you know, control is pretty important. Now you've got to redefine what the playing field looks like. And this clarity can start returning to say, well, I don't have to have the same frame of mind as I did with my business. I can try and figure this out. And, you know, often, you know, you talk about wealth and what is this all about? I think in many cases, you know, because we've lived such a reactive life, because of running a business, you're just reacting to all these variables and moving parts and pressures and opportunities, that you can move into this phase, if you like, of being proactive and having the luxury of discretionary time. And I think to most business owners, it's a very difficult concept. When you find your feet and you can reframe around that, then yeah, you probably get to a situation where you may feel proud, you may feel a little bit hollow, but it'll all change with time. And it's also, you know, at this stage, often you'll question yourself, you know, and we often, we talk to lots of clients afterwards, after the deal, or people that have, you know, sold on their own. And the most common answer really is like, you know, what, how was the deal? And it's like, I should have asked for a higher price. So there's always, it's easy to unpack that, because I think what we do is there's a valuation on the business, but it's impossible to factor in a premium on that price to compensate for you, you know, you as the individual, for this emotional roller coaster that you've tried to navigate. And I think that the only way in many cases that we can truly measure, you know, whether it was a good or bad deal is with money. You know, what was that number? We try and let this one variable or single dynamic compensate us for everything that we've been feeling and been going through. And that's really tough. And I think it's natural to question and doubt and all of those things. But at the end of the day, it's also to try and reframe and, you know, and look forward. Every business owner that we work with over the years is going to go through this. And it's important to note that nothing you feel is wrong. But what is very important is, you know, when you decide to sell your business or selling your business, it's not a single decision. It's a whole lot of emotions. It's a whole lot of shifting of those emotions, positive, negative, back to positive, back to negative, up and down, up and down. And, you know, we're human. Emotions are real and we experience them. So the emotions themselves aren't the problem or the real risk. It's the expectation or the being blindsided by these emotions that you don't expect that often become the problem. And those are the elements where I think working with the right advisor, surrounding yourself with people that have walked the journey, doesn't mean they can perfectly define what you're going through. But like anything, you can create these gates, if you like, that can highlight what's going to be coming down the road. And, you know, I always mention when we start out that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. This subject is not designed to put you off, you know, exiting your business. It's hopefully designed to equip you to be able to manage this process more effectively. And I think it's never easy. It doesn't matter what deal we've ever worked on. It is just not easy because people work with people. It's the human dynamic. You know, when we went through some of the detail earlier, that feeling exposed and vulnerable, your hands in someone else's, your future in someone else's hands, you know, it's just very difficult to manage all of that. But going through it and managing this properly with the right people around you, it doesn't make it easier. You know, the process doesn't get any easier. It's always hard. But what it does do, it becomes a lot clearer. And that's important because insight and clarity and preparation go a long way in making sure that you get a successful result. And a successful exit is based on many variables. And I think, in like I mentioned earlier, you get into this, you know, into this confidence phase, and before you look around, you're in the middle of a due diligence, you know, because we equate numbers. We equate numbers to, you know, whether it's a good or bad exit. As I mentioned, when you write it, you know, after the deal and you're reflecting on the deal, and you go back to, well, I should have been paid more. I should have been compensated more because I didn't realize this was going to be such a tough process. But what's really interesting when we speak to founders, when they look back at this exit and when they reflect on what this journey looked like, and if we could equip you as the business owner and the founder to be able to look back on this and say, I understood based on the insights I've been given, I understood what I was walking into and I chose to do it consciously. And that's important, because now that simple statement, I chose to do it consciously, means you've got control. So yes, I'm stepping into a little bit of a lines, then it's going to be a challenge, but I know what's coming and I'm going to be prepared, and sometimes maybe not as prepared as I need to be, but I've got a blueprint and a framework that I can work with. I've got people around me that can support me and guide me and be objective. You know, I've, you know, had quite a few deals over the years where when you get into that phase where it's like, oh, I'm going to throw the towel and I'm, you know, I'm doubting absolutely everything, that ability to play the objective sounding board back to a business owner to say, look, this is why you're doing it. And, you know, my late mom always had a very simplistic approach, which I still use to this day on many deals. And I've used it with many of our clients, where you take a page and you divide it down the middle, and one side it's pros and the other side cons. And when you play it back to a business owner, particularly if you've made a conscious decision to do this, you can unpack, this is why you've done it. These are the real issues. And in most cases, the positives are going to outweigh the negatives. If the negatives outweigh the positives, then there's one of two challenges. And maybe, you know, if you're in process, do this. One is you haven't got the right buyer at the table, and you haven't followed the right process. And the other one is you're not prepared enough. And prepared, like I mentioned at the outset, is prepared for your business, prepared for your people, prepared for you as, you know, your emotional needs and your tank that needs to be filled through this process. That's a very important dynamic to manage. And, you know, that conscious decision to move forward into this uncharted territory. It's like, you know, you go back to the pioneers of old. Yes, you're great at building your business, and most business owners and founders that we work with haven't sold a business before. So if you're pioneering and you're going to go somewhere, first prize you go with a guy that's been there before. Yes, it could be different time of year, different circumstances, but at least let there be a familiarity where you see something and they say, look, don't worry, it's normal, I've seen this before. It softens the blow quite a bit, and it supports that decision that you're still in control and you can deal with whatever happens there. And one of the founding principles around, you know, building this podcast and launching the M&A Exit Lab, what it's all about is really, it's not just selling well. It comes down to exiting well. So selling well, you know, often, you know, you read a lot, you listen to a lot, you watch a lot. Sell is price. I buy and I sell. So I sell my business. I sold it well. Great price, great structure. It all worked for me. The exit is many layers below that, kind of that principle of an iceberg. And that's what we're trying to build here. So through this journey together, hopefully this gives you insights and some guidance and some tools around, how do I exit, you know, the best way I can exit versus let me just sell my business, because it's not just transactional. It's a whole ecosystem of moving parts that have to be mentioned and managed. That's the episode. I hope it made sense to you. Very happy, you know, drop me a line, M&A Exit Lab. You can listen to me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, got my YouTube channel, where you can pick this video up and some shorts. And that's Andrew David Ballman. That's my channel. And yeah, Deal Leaders International is the machine that, you know, we do this every day with great partner, brilliant team. And yeah, we're privileged to work with, you know, business owners and founders and private equity firms and corporate investors to help them on their growth and exit journeys. So yeah, you know, thank you again. I hope it landed well. I hope it resonated with you. Drop me a line if you got any further questions. The Deal Leaders website, dealleadersint.com. You're happy to connect. Looking forward to our next episode together. And yeah, keep the flag flying and exit well. Cheers.